My name's Jimmy Branton, for those of you who don't know me. So if you're visiting today, you have to promise me that you'll come back next Sunday, because I'm not the regular pastor. I'm one of the deacons here, and I'm also a Sunday school teacher. But Brother Mike has been asked to preach at the Korean congregation today, so he asked me to speak to you today. So don't hold that against everybody here, all right? Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you for allowing us to come together in your name this morning in your house. I ask that you infill me with the Holy Spirit. Let me only speak what you'd have me speak. Let me not put my words into this message, but let me only say what you want said. And I ask that you infill everyone here with the Holy Spirit and open their hearts and let us take this message and let us use it for the betterment of your kingdom. And I thank you for the people that traveled here today. Thank you for bringing them here safely, and I ask that you return them safely to their destination when they leave here. I ask that you be with the people who couldn't be here today. If it was for hardness of heart, I ask for conviction. If it was for some other reason, I ask that we be able to minister to them and fix that problem that kept them from being in your house today. Be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, the question I want to ask today is, does God really expect us to use our gifts, talents, and resources that He gives to us? You know, I always have trouble coming up with sermon topic, because I try to be very careful just to pray about it and let God reveal it to me. And I want Him to reveal it to me as soon as I find out I have to preach, so I have plenty of time to prepare. And for some reason, He likes to make me suffer, and He doesn't give it to me right away always. But I thought about that. And if I'm not preaching to you today, I'll just preach to myself, because this is something that I don't always do. And we're going to go over some scripture today that's going to be very familiar to most of you. But that's the question I have today. Does God really expect us to use the gifts, the talents, and the resources that He gives to us for His kingdom? And of course, the Sunday school answer, I'm also a Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school answer is, yeah, He expects us to do that. But what answer did I give when I asked that question? What immediately popped into my head? Oh, well, you know, he wants 10%, but, you know, the other stuff, I can do whatever I want with that. You know, things like that. That's what we want to answer today. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 25. And we're going to start in verse 14. Like I said, it should be pretty familiar to most of you. And I'm not going to read the whole parable. Jesus is teaching here in parables. We will go over this whole parable, but I'm going to just start with a couple verses, and we're going to kind of dissect it a little bit. So don't read ahead of me, okay? I know that's what I like to do sometimes, go ahead and read so I can get to the end of it real quick. But stay with me, please. Starting in verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The master here is Christ. And we're going to find out that he has 2 faithful servants and 1 not-so-faithful servant. And he gave each one of them some money in this case. And he gave according to their abilities. And I think sometimes when we see this type of thing, we use it as an excuse and we go, well, you know what? God gave Bill a whole bunch of abilities and talents or whatever, and he didn't give me very much, so I'm just going to sit back and go, feel sorry for myself. Oh, God didn't give me as much. I'm not as good of a speaker as Billy Graham. I haven't got to lead as many people to Christ as Billy Graham did. I'm not as faithful of a missionary like Lottie Moon was. And we use that as an excuse sometimes. But God gave, Christ here gave to his servants in this parable according to their abilities. So maybe I haven't been able to lead as many people to Christ as Billy Graham because I don't have that ability. But God has given to me according to my abilities. And I'm to use that in his work. So don't use that excuse. You don't get to use that anymore, okay? Well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a singer, I can't play the piano, I can't play the organ. Okay, but something, God has given you something to use in his church and to use in the betterment of his kingdom. Did the different amounts, by giving different amounts to different servants, mean that God cared for one more than another? No. Once again, we go back to their abilities. One of the things we talk about in our Sunday school class a lot is our faith muscle. You know, if you don't do anything, if you just sit in a chair all day and never do anything, your muscles are going to get weak. They're not going to get stronger. But we see athletes, especially professional athletes, that work muscles. You know, the Olympics, we just had those not too long ago, and the athletes would condition themselves for what sport they were competing in. Okay, we need to condition our faith muscle, and by doing that, we have to exercise it. Okay, so if my faith muscle isn't very strong, God's going to probably give me a lesser test than he's going to give you that have a stronger faith muscle. Okay, because I'm not ready for that bigger task yet. He's going to exercise, he's going to help me exercise that faith muscle by giving me a task that I can do. Now, it might be a little strenuous, and I'm usually going to go, I can't do that, but I can. Because God's not going to give me something that I can't do. He's given to us according to our abilities. In verse 16, and going, he who had received the 5 talents traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2, he also gained another 2. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's silver. So how long did these guys wait before they started with what was given to them? It says they went. They went about it immediately. They didn't go, okay, you know, I'm supposed to be doing this for God, and I'm going to wait a while before I do that. You know, I feel led to teach a Sunday school class, but I'm going to wait a while to do it. I feel led. My gift, I can sing. You know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till somebody comes and asks me. You know what your talents are. You know what God has given you to do in his kingdom and in his church. Then you need to use those and do it now. Okay? Not wait, because what do we normally do when we procrastinate? I don't know about you, but if I don't want to do something, I just put it off, put it off, put it off. And if I don't know that you have this gift, then I'm never going to come ask you to use it. Right? Jack is a wonderful singer, and I don't know that, and he doesn't volunteer it, then he's not going to use it in the betterment of God's kingdom. If you can teach a class, I don't know who here can teach. Usually when I say, hey, why don't you teach, they're like, I don't know. You know? So you have to come forward. You need to respond to that gift that God's given you. And the time is now. Need to respond immediately, not wait. God gave it to you to use it. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and took account with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered 5 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 5 talents above them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered 2 talents to me. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents above them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Two of the servants did well. They were given things to use by God. And they went out and used them immediately, and they bore fruit. Okay? And in this case, the parable was about money. So the first servant took his 5 talents, went out and doubled that. And who was he doing that for? Was he doing it for himself? Did he go, oh, good, I got five talents here. I'm going to go out and make me some money. He was doing it for his Lord, for his Master, for Christ. You know, God has given us abilities, and they're for us to use for God. Okay? They're for us to use for God, not to abuse for our self-centered selves. Okay? God gives me a talent, I use it for Him. So the two servants did well. They went out and doubled. And then Christ rewarded them greatly. Okay? I believe this. I want to do good for God. And I think everyone here wants to do good for God. But I think too often we get scared when it's time to do it. And we'll see the other servant here in a minute, what he did. But I don't know if we come up with excuses for why we don't want to do it. We're too busy. I don't know. But anybody I talk to, myself included, wants to do good things for God. God gives us the ability to do that. Now, I probably will never be a great evangelist. Well, that's fine. My goal is to be obedient to God and to use what He's given me for the betterment of His kingdom. And if it's only to teach Sunday school class and preach a few times a year and help with some Bible studies, the world might say, oh, you didn't do very much. But God's saying, Jimmy, you did what I told you to do. And I want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. I didn't get the five talents. That's fine. I'm going to use what God gave me, being obedient to Him and following what He wants me to do so that He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, Satan wants you to believe you only got two talents, so God doesn't like you as much, so you can go ahead and go sit down on that bench right there and pout about it. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But that is absolutely not true. God's given me what I can handle. I obviously can't handle being a Billy Graham. Although I'd love to lead that many people to Christ, I can't do it. Okay, I'm going to do what God has empowered me to do. At one point in my walk with God, I was saved at a young age, and then my parents weren't really involved in church. We were talking about this too this morning. I had to go to church until I left home after graduating from high school. I went into the Marine Corps. I didn't have to go to church anymore, so I didn't. I was saved, but I was backsliding, and I just kept sliding. When I met Renee and we moved back to Louisiana, she thought, hey, we've got a daughter and we need to get in church. And I'm like, okay, I belong to this church over here already. Let's go over there. And God convicted me and I rededicated my life back to Him. And I wanted to do good things for God, so I started doing things. But I wasn't seeing any fruit. And I knew from my Bible studies that I should be seeing fruits from what I'm doing. And I kept trying to do things. So I go do more and more and more and more and more for God, but I still wasn't seeing any fruits. Okay? The servants here, we saw something from their diligence. They went out and did what God told them to do, and they had a return on it. Now, my problem was that I really wasn't doing things for God. I was doing things I thought was right, but I wasn't doing what He wanted me to do. They looked good, but they weren't really what God wanted to do. These guys did what God wanted them to do, and they saw fruit. So if you're wondering, am I using my gift effectively, are you seeing fruits from that? That's the way to measure that. These guys had something to show for their labor. Matthew Henry wrote, show me thy faith by thy works. He that is a good man, let him show it. Okay? I can tell you, yes, I believe what the Bible says. Okay. I believe that it's purple outside right now. It's not. I can tell you I believe what the Bible says. I can tell you that I'm doing what the Bible says. That doesn't matter. Show me that you believe what the Bible says. Show me that you're living the way the Bible tells you to live. You know, I said a few minutes ago, Sunday school answer. That's our little thing in there, you know. Do you believe in God? Yep. Sunday school answer, probably. Maybe. Hopefully not. Do you do everything God tells you to do? Yep. Well, that's definitely a Sunday school answer. Because I can't say yes to that. I wish that I was that obedient, but I'm not. Show us. Show man. Show God that you're being obedient. And it's not to put on a show, but what I'm trying to say is don't just tell me about it. Because personally, I don't want to hear it, and I don't think God does either. He wants us to show Him. Yes, God, I'm obedient to you. You want me to preach today? Okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, sure, I'll be there. Don't worry. Show me. Do it. What does the verse say? Faith without works is dead. You know, we can say it all we want. We know the Sunday school answers. But we got to do it. Verse 24, and he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, you have yours. Baloney. You know what he did? He made up an excuse. He put a different picture or perspective on God that he made up to cover his unfaithfulness and his laziness. That's all he did. No, I can't teach because, you know, I might mess that up. So I better not do it. Because God will get mad and smack me down if I don't do it right. If I mess up when I'm teaching Sunday school class, he'll probably smack me down. So I better not do that. Yeah, he gave me this ability, but I'm going to bury it in the ground. And I'm not going to use it. Because I know, I read somewhere in the Bible that says I'm more accountable now that I'm teaching. So better off that I just keep my mouth shut. And in the end, when I see God again, I can hand him that gift back. Here you go, God. There's that gift you gave me. Because that's what he did. He took the one talent and he made up some excuse that God was too scary and too mean. So I better not mess this up. And he hid it in the ground. And when Christ came back, he handed him the gift back. Yep. I can sing, but I didn't do it. Yeah, I can play the piano. I didn't do it. I can teach. I can pray for people. I can minister to people. I didn't do it. Here's your gift back, God. That person didn't show us that they were faithful, and they weren't. It was funny because Henry is who one of the commentaries I was reading as I was studying this, and he said this is kind of backwards here. He said we got two people being faithful and one not being faithful. He said in our churches we got one person usually being faithful and two not being faithful with their gifts that God's given them, and you hear things like 10% of the people do 90% of the work in church, things like that. You know, this isn't my body sermon, but I'll talk about it a little bit. We're the body. God put us here to work together for the betterment of His kingdom. And today, I'm being a mouth, but that's not my normal job. I have other jobs to do here. And you all have jobs too. And when I was studying Experiencing God, there was a lady, I can't remember her name, but Henry Blackaby referred to her as the knee. Said this woman was a prayer warrior. She wasn't a mouse. She didn't teach. She didn't sing. She didn't play the piano. She didn't preach. She was the prayer warrior for that church. When they needed praying, they went to her first. And she prayed without ceasing. You know, we think, oh, the knee's not a very important part of the body. Yes, it is. We think the finger's not a very important part of the body. I promise you it is. Some of you know I broke my finger a while back, and Lisa's shaking her head because she thinks I'm going to blame it on her, and I'm not. That stupid thing hurt all the way up into my shoulder when they did the surgery on that. I literally wanted to cut it off. I thought it would be better if I just cut it off, and I had a good saw that would do it, too. And told the doctor, I'm going to cut that thing off. He's like, no, don't do that. Same thing in our body here. If one part of it in here is hurting, the rest of the body is going to be hurting. We, as the body, need all of you. Need me, need all of you. We're all important. We all need to use the gifts that God's given us. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said to him, evil and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter. Then you should have put my money to the exchangers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. Christ isn't admitting to being that evil person that this person tried to represent to make their excuse for why they didn't do what they knew was right. He's just saying, okay, if I'm this evil person that you're so scared of, why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I get a little bit of interest off of it? He's just using his own words to convict him. Okay, I'm going to borrow Jimmy's truck tomorrow, and if I know if I don't bring it back clean, he's going to hit me with a stick. Okay, I'm not that way. I might not be happy if you get it all scratched up. I definitely won't be happy if you get it all scratched up. But I'm not going to hit you with a stick if you bring it back dirty. I can go get it washed. That's what happened here. This guy was just trying to make up an excuse. I'm not even going to borrow Jimmy's truck because he hit me with a stick. So I couldn't move your stuff for you because I couldn't borrow Jimmy's truck. We make excuses. Christ is basically saying here, if you believe this, why didn't you act according to your belief? If you were so scared of me being this horrible, terrible person, put it in the bank. Bank safe. Get a little bit of interest. And at least it was used a little bit. 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will abound. But from him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. And throw the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't want to use your talent, in this case it was money, in our case a talent as in an ability. If you don't want to use your gift, if you don't want to use your resources that God has given you, is it? Here, I don't normally ask everybody to raise their hand. Do you believe that God's all powerful? Raise your hand. Okay. Do you believe that God is the one who gives us everything that we have? Okay, so he gave us these gifts. He gave us our talents. He gave us our resources. If we don't use them for him, then he's going to take that away from us. Can't blame him. I gave you something to use. You're not using it. I'll give it to somebody else. Somebody else will use it. Jimmy, you're not doing what you were supposed to do in this church. I'm going to take that away from you and give it to somebody that can get the job done. So you can go ahead and just go sit there, cross your arms, make up your excuse for why you're not doing it, because the terrible, mean, spiteful God's going to get on to you if you do it wrong. Take it away. You don't need it. You're not using it. Give it to somebody else. It's nice, too, that when we use our gifts and our talents to fulfill God's will, he even gives us more. When I was on the police department, one of the guys who taught the defensive tactics, he's also a psychologist, really, really intelligent guy. And one of the things he said, and you've heard me say it before, some of you, and Renee will get on to me because I'm using the same example again, is we like to be liked and we like to be right. Well, we're the same way with God. We like to be liked with God and we like to be right with God. Well, let's use our talents. And then he's going to give us more. We want to measure how successful we are by how much we do. Well, that's not really how God does it. He measures by how obedient we are. But if you want more, then use what you have. We see the servants here, the one with the 10 and the one with the 5 talents, using, or was it 5 and 2? I'm getting confused already. Using what God gave them, and they got more. Because they used the talents that they were given. So if you feel slighted that your talent's not good enough or your gift's not big enough, use it. You'll get something else. You'll get more. I'm going to read a few more verses, and these aren't to try to scare you, but I want to emphasize how much Christ dislikes us not using our talents, how much he dislikes us not being fruitful. In Luke 3:9, "And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." Matthew 21:18 and 19. "And returning early to the city, he hungered," and this is Jesus, "and seeing a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you forever.' And immediately the fig tree withered away." John 15:1-2, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit." Like I said, I'm not trying to scare you with those. I'm just trying to tell you how serious God takes this. We need to bear fruit. He's given us gifts according to our abilities, and we need to use those. Now, if you're like me, when God gives you something to do, the first thing you say is, "I can't do that." And guess what? I checked into it. That's pretty normal. If you're not like that, you're abnormal. If you just say, "Yeah, God, I'll do that. Go lead the Israelites out of Egypt." "Okay, God, I'll do it." Is that what Moses said? What did he say? I don't talk that well. If I could use that excuse, I wouldn't have to come up here. For the visitors today, when you came to Southern Baptist Church, you didn't know you was going to have somebody from Louisiana talking, probably. That's where the accent's from. We don't get to use that excuse because God's given us that direction and he's given us the ability to do it. Moses wasn't going to go free the slaves. God was. Moses was just going to get to be a participant in the work that God was doing. So when God tells you to do something, when God gives you a gift, it's normal to go, "I can't do that. I can't get up here in front of these people and talk about the Bible. I don't know it well enough. So I don't feel qualified." Good. That's fine. What I say in my Sunday school class always, "I can't do it." That's not a period at the end of that. It's a comma. "But God can." I can't teach Sunday school, and I can't preach. But if God wants me to do that, he's going to give me what I need to get the job done. All I have to do is be obedient. I can't bury it in the ground. That's not being obedient. I have to do what God told me to do. Initially, I'm going to say, "I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I don't speak well enough. I don't look good enough. I don't know this. I don't know that." Okay, shut up now, Jimmy. Comma, "but God can." We need to take what God's given us and we need to use it for his betterment. The talents weren't for the servants. They were for God. And they were for the servants to make more of the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. We need to take those. If you think you don't have any gifts, then you need to pray about that. Because if you're saved, if you've trusted God with your eternal life, with your soul, then I promise you, you have a gift or gifts. And I'd be willing to bet it's more than one. And all you have to do is use it. And yes, it's going to be scary. But God's given you, according to your abilities, gifts that you can use, talents that you can use, resources that you can use for the betterment of His kingdom. And if you don't know what those are, you need to talk to Him, prayerfully seek Him, and find out what they are. Dennis, we're going to go ahead and close. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to speak to you about Him. And we have other people here that would love to speak to you about Him if you don't want to talk to me, because I do talk funny. If you would like to talk to someone about rededicating your life and turning these gifts back over to God, rededicating these gifts that are God's already back to Him, then I'd love to talk to you. If you'd like to just come up and pray, we'd love for you to do that. Whatever decision you'd like to make.